and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would cause a dentist with a thriving practice to leave the comforts of home to serve on the mission field? Dr. Nora Harmson has integrated the success of dentistry with service to those who don't have access to dental care. Her faith in Christ, amidst challenges in life, explains her heart of compassion. Speaking of compassion, God has great compassion for you, for us. And today, He reaches out to you and He sends Dr. Harmson to share her story. My friend, God loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, to make it possible for you to know Him in a personal way. Jesus came and He shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Dr. Harmson, will touch your heart today, can touch your heart today, if you turn to Him. Would you turn your life to Christ? Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever the challenges might be, open your heart to Jesus. Dr. Nora Harmson is a dentist and the owner of Hawaii Fill-In. She received her DDS at Indiana University School of Dentistry, and before that earned 2 bachelor's degrees, one in Germanic languages and the other in biological sciences. She's married to retired United States Army General David Bramlett. She's a member of First Presbyterian Church of Honolulu. Dr. Harmson, welcome. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in a small town called Goshen, Indiana. So you can make jokes about being from the land of Goshen.
The land of Goshen. What was it like growing up there in Goshen?
Well, you know, I kind of grew up not say poor, but we didn't have a whole lot. And so we just got by. And my parents were just very frugal, but they were very wonderful parents. My mom did not work. She raised us at home. And so my dad was the breadwinner. And we actually lived in a mobile home, which people out here in Hawaii don't even know what that is, but we may be soon learning about those here.
Yes.
But, and so I was just a kid, just a little kid growing up in a kind of a quiet neighborhood and a Christian family. Grew up in a Christian family, born and raised, and I loved being a part of that family.
Siblings?
I have one sister. She's about 4 years older. And so it was just the four of us. And, I was the youngest. So, I got compared to the older adult, the older sister all the time. So I just worked harder.
Spoiled just a little bit, I'm sure.
No, no? Never. Uh-uh.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
You know, probably my parents, because they instilled in me such hard work ethics and kind of doing the right thing, you know, working to your full potential. My parents did not graduate from college, so I didn't have that, you know, that initial push. But my parents did say, you know, if you want something better, you got to work hard for it. And you have to push yourself beyond your limits sometimes, maybe out of your comfort zone. And perhaps sometimes it was hard because they were pushing hard. But on the other hand, I look back now and say, man, I am so thankful for all their good pressure, but good pressure that was, you know, don't be lazy. Don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Get moving, get motivated, and look what you can do with it. And I think I even shocked them when I became a dentist.
What caused you to choose dentistry?
Well, I was in college at Indiana University, and my classmate across, well, hallmate, you know, she was across the hall from me, and she was going to medical school. That was her plan, and she and I talked a lot about medicine, and then she also decided to apply to dental school. So she applied to both medical school and dental school, and unfortunately didn't get into medical school, which was her dream. She got into dental school. Then her boyfriend at the time was in medical school. So I went to see the two of them in school, her the next year in medical school, her in dental school and him in medical school. And I got an opportunity to just see what both were like. And I really liked the hands-on work with the patient. And it's so artistic. You take something that's messy and unformed and catastrophic sometimes and make it into something beautiful again. And so I think there's an artistic component to it that I really liked.
So what was the process? I noticed you have two degrees. You have your biological sciences degree, double degree. So how did you change from Germanic studies to biological sciences?
Well, I actually did them both congruently. So, and actually, not to brag, but I finished a double major in 3 years of college.
Wow.
So I was just taking a lot of classes, and I liked German. German, for me, the language skill of German was easy. And it was something, I had been an exchange student in high school in Germany. So that came easy for me. So I hate to say I was going for the easy A's, but I was.
And boy, can she cook German food, Danny.
Yes.
The artistry of dentistry. Describe that.
Well, you know, when someone comes in and their tooth is broken, you know, it's my job to take materials that are, you know, plastic or resin or silver or gold, and manipulate those into something lifelike again, something that's in the form of that tooth again. So you really have to think and ponder what that's going to look like. So I think it's challenging to take that broken down thing and rebuild it.
Now, were you into art when you were growing up?
Not so much. I've always been kind of, I would say, more crafty. I like to make things. So, you know, like right now, I like to do quilting and I like to make jewelry and I like to do things with my hands. So I think it was kind of an automatic good thing. It just kind of, I slid into dentistry and it just fit every part of me. It really, I think I would say I'm passionate about what I do.
What difference has your relationship with Christ made in your life?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, I was brought up in a Christian home, but, you know, a Sunday school teacher is the one who really touched me and said, one day he challenged all of us, had we ever said to God personally, I want to be your child, I want to walk with you. And I was really young then, but I still to this day remember saying that prayer to say, you know, really, I do want to be a Christian my whole life. I want to live a good life. I want to do what you want me to do, God. And I mean, even as a young kid, you can make those choices. And I would tell you that without God in my life, I do not know where I would be, because there were lots of tears and crying through dental school when it was hard, or college when I got overwhelmed with taking too many courses the same semester. And when you have God there, you can pray and you can get that comfort that nobody else can give you.
You travel to different parts of the world to, missions. How did you get involved with missions?
Well, actually, I really always had an idea that someday I would do some dental mission work. And the opportunity came up when I met a couple that had done mission work in the Marshall Islands, and the couple is David and Judy Bramlett, and I met David Bramlett basically in my dental chair at the VA, and worked with him and took care of some dental work for him, and he was telling me that he was going to go out with his wife to the Marshall Islands, and they were going to spend a year doing teaching there, and they were going to teach for the Catholic Church there. And they had decided to do this after he retired, as they had given their lives to the military, and now they wanted to spend a year giving a year to God. And so they signed up actually at first to go to Alaska, and that didn't work out. And they ended up going to the Marshall Islands, to the Kwajalein Atoll, if any of you know where that is. And it's just out in the middle of the ocean, and it's a boomerang-shaped atoll. And on this atoll are small towns, you'd call them, but I don't know if you'd even call it a town. They're so small. And a lot of people living on one small amount of area. So like 15,000 people living in one half square mile. So high density, and you know, not a lot of outside influence. So they decided to go there to teach with the Catholic, in the Catholic high school there, as mission teachers for the year, no compensation. And they lived in a Matson container as their house, actually half a Matson container, and their water was through a drip system. And they spent every day in a very hot classroom, trying to corral these kids into learning.
So this is General David Bramlett, right?
Yes, it is.
Living in Kwajalein for a year with his wife Judy. Yep. And how did you connect? Did you go over and help while they were there?
I did not. Actually, when they came back from their 1 year of being there, David had a problem with his tooth, and so he came back to see me at the VA, and I was just fascinated by this story. How could someone like him, you know, a four-star general, go live in a Matson container for a year and teach high school kids? I mean, he could have gone on a cruise, but he chose to serve God for a year. And I was just astounded by that. And so he and Judy invited me over for dinner so that we could just discuss it and talk about it. And he and Judy were concerned about the dental health of these kids, because they saw these big black holes in their front teeth, and they saw the kids eating, you know, basically rice with sugar and coconut milk. Mm. That was their breakfast. And a soda was 50 cents and a bottle of water was a dollar there. So most kids drank soda. And you can imagine just the crisis of dentistry. I mean, they're just, and they didn't really have a regular dentist in the island. They had foreign dentists. So...
Dr. Harmsen has been with the Aloha Medical Mission as well. When we come back from our break, we'll talk more about how she ended up going there to the Marshall Islands for the first time. Imagine seeing a four-star general. You've heard of George Washington before. You've heard of Douglas MacArthur. You've heard of four-star generals like Omar Bradley and Dwight Eisenhower. Well, David Bramlett is a four-star general. There are just about a couple hundred in all of American history. And he's there in Kwajalein with his wife. Well, there's so much more to this story, and you'll hear about it when we come back. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Brand Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenanen Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, if you were given the opportunity to go and serve, would you go? Well, what do you mean go and serve? So, I mean, to another island, like a place uncomfortable, it's calling you, God is calling you to get outside your comfort zone, and you see someone of high esteem, a couple, go and set an example for you. Would that inspire you? Well, that's the story of Dr. Nora Harmsen. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer and Dr. Harmsen with us today. You can find out more about this program. Maybe you're tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Dr. Harmsen, take us back. When did you feel moved to go yourself to the Marshall Islands?
Well, I'll tell you that right at that moment when we discussed the needs of these kids at dinner, and Judy was telling me about how bad it was and how these kids, they had tried to bring water bottles and get the kids to drink more water. And they had tried all these different things, but there was no stopping this rampant decay. She just looked at me and she said, "Is there anything we can do?" And I said, "Well, sure. I mean, there's a lot of things we can do." And one of them is that I had portable dental equipment that I had used in my life in Indiana, and I had done portable dentistry to people who were handicapped or elderly or homebound. And so this equipment could just be used the same way. We would just pack it up and take it to the island. So I said, "Well, why don't we take it to them? You know, they can't come here to Hawaii, so we'll take dentistry to them." And that became my focus, was to, how can we do this?
And how often did you go? After the first time?
Well, the first time, actually, Judy went with me as my dental assistant, and she had no dental experience whatsoever, but she said she would do it because nobody else wanted to go there because it was so hot, and the kids have head lice pretty bad. So most everybody we approached to ask to go with me said no. So I went the first year and continued doing that for a two-week stint every year for 8 more years.
8 years.
Yes.
What did you see in terms of progress during that time?
Well, that was the exciting part of it, is one of the islands in particular, it was a remote island that we based out of, there's a military base there. So that was our base out of, and then we would take either a boat or an airplane to the remote islands. Sometimes we were on a landing craft. If you can remember, you've seen Saving Private Ryan, and you remember when all the people ran off the end of the landing craft. Well, that's what we rode as our ferry back and forth between the islands. And sometimes we flew because we were too far. But one of the little islands I went to had only 90 people on it, and we always made sure we did the children first. And by the eighth year I was there, I can honestly tell you I had kids with no cavities anymore. And that to me was huge. I mean, we're seeing kids with, 15 cavities. And we actually, by the last year, saw kids on this little island get it. And to have no cavities was amazing. That was just amazing to me.
And no cavities means no pain too, right?
Right. And even the parents would even wait as long as they could, at the end of the day, if they had a toothache, and they would patiently wait for hours and hours so that the children went first.
So you're not just extracting teeth,
we were doing fillings, we were cleaning their teeth, we were putting in a lot of coatings or sealants to try to prevent cavities. So I think that was part of it. And also educating them. Every child got a toothbrush. Every child got toothpaste and floss. And they learned how to use it. We had time.
What about fluoride?
You know, we did put fluoride on their teeth, you know, as part of the cleaning, but they don't have fluoride in their water out in the atoll either, so.
This is a toothpaste?
Toothpaste has fluoride, so they could use the toothpaste, yeah. So that was important for us to make sure. We'd actually, if you could imagine, hauling over 500 pounds of supplies to give away. So we had toothbrushes, toothpaste, and every kid we saw got a toothbrush. And even kids we saw on the streets some days, we'd make sure they got a toothbrush and toothpaste. We just handed it out like it was candy.
Now, on your 8 trips, who went with you the first time and who went with you the last time?
Well, I call it my bookends because Judy was my dental assistant on the very first trip. And after that trip, she said, oh, that was worse than teaching kids doing it, because we had to carry so much equipment. And every day we lifted 70 pounds each of equipment onto the boat to go to the next place. And then we carried it across. So it was a lot of work humping. I call it humping the equipment. And the last year that I went, my 8th year, I took David back. So there's a little bit of a story of what happened in those 8 years. And
tell us the story.
Well, very, very sadly and unfortunately, Judy contracted cancer, and it was a lung cancer, small cell lung cancer. And it was just a very sad time for us to watch Judy deteriorate and to, but she was the most faith-filled woman I've ever met. Through dying, through the process of dying, she knew that this wasn't an end. Mm-hmm. She said she sometimes even had visions that it was like a canoe, and she was in the canoe, but God was right there with her and angels around her. And she said, you know, there were times when it just was so, you know, when you're on the medications and all the chemotherapies and things, that her faith, she never said, I never heard her, and neither did David, ever say, why me? Mm-hmm. She never thought it was something bad. She took it as bringing her closer to God.
And then what happened?
Unfortunately, we lost her to cancer in 2008 after a long struggle and a very wonderful attentive husband who was there every minute of the day with her to make sure that he could do everything possible to love on her and to make sure she was comfortable and see her to the end.
And what was happening in your life?
Well, also not a very comfortable time in my life. My husband of 20 years decided that he wanted to find life, move on with someone else. And unfortunately, it was an exchange student that was in our home that was the lure. And one day I got a knock at the door of my dental office, and I was served with divorce papers. So it was out of the blue and very devastating for me because I'm a Christian. I was brought up in a family that we didn't divorce. So the word divorce wasn't even a word that I wanted to cross my lips. Because it made me sad, because when I committed to this marriage, I committed for better, for worse, and for eternity. And I thought that that's where I was heading after 20 years of marriage. So I was, needless to say, shocked and astounded and just fell apart. I just fell apart.
You say you fell apart. What do you mean you fell apart?
You know, you fall into the depths of lots of tears, of crying, of
disbelief.
Disbelief. My husband at the time, I thought, was a very good Christian, and gosh, we had done radio shows together, so I just was astounded that he didn't let me know that he was unhappy, or that he didn't want to talk about it, that it was that easy to just say, this is over and you're done. And so the morning that it all blew up, and I asked him to leave, obviously, when I caught him. And I guess when I say everything was just, it was so out of character for everything. It just fell apart. And my life as I knew it fell apart. And I sat on the couch that morning, and I just cried for the longest time. And I prayed and I cried and I got angry and I let all the emotions out I could let out. I mean, I said a few bad words that I never even had thought could cross my lips that day. Mm-hmm. Everything was bad. And probably after about, I think I was there on the couch, seriously didn't get off the couch for about 3 or 4 hours, maybe. And Danny, I heard God tell me to get off the couch. And I heard those words. I heard, get off the couch.
Audibly.
And, you know, I can say I've heard God speak to me more in, not in audible words before, but more in things happening through my heart, my mind, things. I had never heard what I think was these words so clearly said, get off the couch. Hmm. And I listened. I mean, I was so stunned. I got up off the couch right away and I wiped up my tears and I said, okay, I guess this means I got to get going. I don't know what that meant at the time, get going, but it meant for me, get going. Stop the pity parties, stop the, I can't do it. Stop the crying, stop the, you know, even the anger, stop that hate. Because, and it took a while. I mean, trust me, there's no instant answer when you're that deeply hurt. And I did fall back and cry a lot. And I did have times I needed to talk to my friends, my friend Suzanne was one of them, and talk to people in my church and my pastor and use those tools to figure it out.
Nora, you said talk to people. You talk to Suzanne, you talk to your pastor, you talk to others. When we come back from our break, if you'd be open to doing this, I'd like to just spend a few moments talking about what you talked about. Because someone today may be going through a shocking time. Maybe their world is collapsing. Others around them may or may not know what's going on the outside or on the inside of them. But what to talk about? What do you say? And by the way, how did people respond? But before we even get there, really, what did you talk about? How did you go about doing it? I think it'd be very helpful. Would you be open to sharing just a little bit?
Sure.
About what you talked about? Hey, we've got Dr. Nora Harmson with us, and she's willing to share. Yeah, what did she talk about when her world collapsed? Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry?
Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It was unexpected, a shock. Dr. Nora Harmson got word that her husband was filing for divorce, and her world collapsed. I don't know about you, but if you've ever had your world collapse, there are times when you just don't know what to say. How do you talk about the brokenness that goes on in your heart? Well, she's with us today to share heart to heart with you. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thank you for joining us. You can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Perhaps someone today, as you listen to this program, you might want to share this with them, a family member or a friend. Nora, tell us, how did you talk to people about your pain?
Well, you know, my very best friends were the first people I went to because they knew both of us. And in fact, that the morning of the big catastrophe, I call it my big catastrophe morning. I called my friends and they came over and talked. And I just, you know, I kept asking questions and trying to, you know, what have I done? What did I do wrong? You know, sometimes I think you start to first look at yourself and say, oh my gosh, I must have not done this right or not done that right. And Why would you need to love me now? Why would you decide now after 20 years of marriage? Why would you decide now not to love me? Or yeah, and so I guess I talked through it. I would tell what happened. Just try to see if they could, you know, if they saw something in me or in him that, you know, what did I miss? Did I miss something here? Was I not cognizant of something? Was it me? And I think that's where you tend to go to, was it me first? At least most of us do. And, you know, then I also sought out some professional counseling and went to a professional Christian psychologist to just let me talk it out and then help me move on. I think that was the next step for me. How do I get past this? And the guilt of being a divorcee, I felt guilty.
Why did you feel guilty?
You know, I'll say that's probably my upbringing. You know, when you're in a church, a very strong church, and, you know, you just, nobody in my family divorced. And so it probably was my own guilt feelings. I mean, self-guilt, because we just didn't do that. You know, my parents were married 50 years, my grandparents 60-some. You know, it just, I didn't even know, you know, you just didn't do that. And in fact, when I had married my husband, we talked about that because his parents were not divorcees. So we were really firm and, boy, we're not going to do that. We are going to really be open with each other and tough it out. And that's what I thought was going to happen.
What would you say to someone who has a broken heart and is feeling guilty because of their circumstance?
Well, number one, start praying and start reading God's word. Prayer, first of all, just open your heart to God and listen. I think that helped me a lot. Was, like I said, I didn't think God would talk to me, but he was pretty clear. So I think you got to listen and you know, go to your pastor, go to someone you trust with your heart that you can say, you know, I'm mixed up, I'm confused, and, you know, help me find some more scriptures, help me find some other ways that I can cope with this, because you just feel sad and you want to cry all the time.
Mm. How long was the process of healing?
Now, I don't know if you'll ever get over when you get that hurt, but I can say that I think it took a good year, maybe two, and just time to just not feel the anger anymore. I think that was what I needed to push out of my heart, because I felt like I was harboring so much anger that it didn't let me heal. So until I started to let go of that anger, and you know, I actually did some journaling even, you know, and writing down the things that were hurting me and that hurt me, then I could visualize it better and then say, look, I don't want that. And then use that as prayer time to journal and then pray about it. And that seemed to work for me. It's an opportunity just to think it through and then put it down or put it away.
In 2012, you were awarded the Serving Heart Award, Nisei Forum on Universal Values for Democratic Society from the University of Hawaii Foundation. You've also done a lot of speaking through the years, most recently this past year, in Japan. What did you speak about?
Well, the recent trip to Japan, I was talking about doing portable dentistry, homebound dentistry, and dentistry for those who are handicapped or cannot make it to a standard dental office. And one of the things they're facing in Japan is an aging society. They are now considered an aged society because more percentage of their population is over the age of 65. So what they're having problems with is who's taking care of those aging or aged population. And these people don't have the families much to the changes of our lifestyles now. They don't stay home and take care of the families. They move into small apartments and then they have their own family. And this is a change in their culture. But they don't have a lot of people coming into Japan in the serving area. So a lot of the senior citizens live alone or live in a small apartment somewhere and don't have a way to get to the dentist's office. So they're now starting outreach programs to get to these patients. So that was when we were basically sharing ideas in a conversation about how to care for elderly and handicapped.
How did they respond to your message?
It was excellent. They were very wonderful to talk to, and we shared their perspective because they're doing it with little minivans. And they still have portable equipment, almost exactly to the equipment I had in the nursing homes that I was doing on the mainland. But they used, they would take it in a little minivan and drive up to someone's house. And so we actually went with them on a day to see what they did and got a chance to go to these Japanese homes and watch them work with the patients.
You know, it strikes me that early on, you had this heart of compassion, even in Indiana. That's where you started, right?
Right, yes.
So how did you... I imagine not every dentist is thinking about getting a portable system and take it somewhere. So where did it emerge from you?
Well, I think the dentistry to the nursing homes concept came when I was in dental school, and I had two professors that gave a course in gerontology or geriatric dentistry. And they offered us an opportunity to take dentistry out to the nursing homes. And so we went out to the nursing homes and did exams and just, you know, basic cleaning their teeth, brushing their teeth in the nursing homes. And I loved it. And I realized that these were patients that, gosh, they just needed someone to come and brush their teeth once in a while. And actually, that was my senior paper, it was called Who Shall Care for the Elderly? And it was a nursing home perspective of who's responsible for taking care of patients in nursing homes. And the sad gist of that paper that I wrote, which I ended up getting an award for, was that nobody was taking care of the chair. And it really came out that nobody felt responsible.
So the economics of it, someone might be thinking, okay, that's a really important thing to do. That's a very compassionate thing to do. But how do you make it? How does a dentist, if you do that so often, how do you make the kind of resources that you need or would want to make?
Well, that came to light for me because a lot of the patients that are in the nursing homes are on Medicaid Medicaid doesn't pay for even their teeth to be cleaned, and Medicare doesn't pay for any dental services at all. So part of the problem is that family members don't want to pay for grandma or grandpa to have their dentistry done, and it becomes a problem. So part of it is, you know, the nursing home taking responsibility for some of it and taking on the cost. And the other part of it is just, for me, working other days in my dental office in Indiana, and then just identifying one day a week that I went out to the nursing homes, knowing that that was a day that really wasn't going to make me any money. Mm-hmm. And I didn't look at it as a money day. It was sometimes you can do mission work right at home. Well, this mm-hmm. was my mission at home, I think. And I still look at it that way, is if I can help patients, that's being a missionary at home. You don't have to go to a foreign country to do mission work.
You also serve on the board of, well, the national board of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. How did you do that? Why did you do that?
Well, that was actually my ex-husband was very involved with. Well, he actually started Fellowship of Christian Athletes out here in Hawaii after they had a long time with nobody out here as a representative, mm-hmm. and then the regional director would come out and visit us, and we would discuss things. And one day he said, you know, we really need some more women on the board of our national board, and we need some professionals, not just athletes. We need people with more diversity in their thoughts. And so my regional director put my name up for it, and they selected me for the national board, and I served. I just actually rolled off the board after over 12 years of service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a generous heart with your resources, of course, time, your wisdom, your insights, and you have a lot of energy. I can just hear it. What a blessing you are. When we come back, some final thoughts, maybe a time of prayer for someone today who is going through their own challenge. But I think, Suzanne, wouldn't you agree that it's been quite inspiring just listening to Nora share her story?
Absolutely. I want to share with our listeners, it was challenging getting her into the studio because of her heart. She has a gigantic heart. But we also want to hear a little bit in our last segment about the wonderful blessing of Nora and her now husband, David. It's quite a story.
We'll come back to that. In fact, spend a good deal of time on that in our final segment. Nora, are you ready to share a little bit? We are eager to hear.
That'd be great.
More from Dr. Nora Harmson. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Hey, when God takes someone who has given their heart to Him, even in the trying times of life, even in those moments when we feel like we've hit a dead end in life and our hearts are broken and we're stricken with disappointment, in Christ, there is hope. And in that hope, there are divine surprises. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, I want to speak with earnestness to your heart, my friend. If there is a challenge that you're faced with right now, or you have encountered a tremendous disappointment, maybe you're in the shell of life. You were blooming at one point, and now you're curling up in a shell because of shame, of disappointment, and pain. Well, hold on, because in Jesus Christ, there are divine surprises. And our guest today, Dr. Nora Harmson, can testify of the grace of God in her life as she's gone through some challenging times. My friend, hold on to Jesus and remember that He is holding on to you. The Good Life Radio Show. And you can find out more about this program, get this in its entirety, share it with a family member or a friend who needs it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Suzanne?
Nora has shared with us some real heartbreak. But God was watching, and God had a plan. So that last trip had her friend David with her. Nora, take us from there.
Well, actually, we were newlyweds when we went on the last trip. So what had happened is, after all this, the sadness in David's life and the loss of his wife, and he was a dear friend of mine. He and Judy were both dear friends and had helped me through all those years of working with the mission work, even once Judy had passed away. And we just decided that, he would like to go with me to see what it was like firsthand, and he would be my dental assistant. And we tapped on another doctor that year, another dentist locally, and we also brought another hygienist in. And so the four of us went on year number 8, and we went over to the Kwajalein Atoll and had a chance to experience a wonderful time together. And his students from Kwajalein High School came when they heard that Mr. David was on the island, came to him and visited us. So that was a really, it was an exciting time for David to be able to go back and see some of these high school students and see how they had done in their lives quite a few years later. So, but I guess you wanted to know about how David and I got together. Well, we were such good friends, and David was so sad and so brokenhearted. And I kept watching him physically deteriorate, getting pretty skinny. And since Suzanne mentioned, I love to cook. And yes. So I invited him over for dinner.
German food, right?
Yeah, German food.
All foods. But especially sehr gut German.
So, and I also decided, I like to golf, and I knew he did too. So I asked him if he wanted to join my little, we had a hui that would golf once a week. And he didn't want to do that. He was kind of nervous about just getting with a group. But he said, why don't you and I just golf? So we started out golfing together, and we were just friends. We were just good friends and concerned. I was concerned about him, and he was very sad that my divorce had happened, and he and Judy had known us and was sad that, it was over. And so anyway, along the way, we just started doing things together and being better and better friends. And, one day after golfing, David asked me, he said, "So what are we doing?" And I'm like, what are we doing? What does that mean? We just golfed. And he said, well, could we date? And I have to say, I chuckled, but I was like, you know, that's not such a bad idea. Maybe we'll try to date. And so that's the start of our love story of just basically taking time to fall in love with each other and knowing someone that you've trusted and you feel confident in, and knowing that I really believe God put this person in my life. And his sense of humor was he gave me another Dave.
Yes, exactly. But the joy that you have share a little bit about some of your travels. And
well, I'm so happy to be with someone who, number one, respects me as a female, respects me as a professional, and as will do anything to make that, you know, basically uplifts me daily. He makes me breakfast when I have to go off to work since he's retired. And I just think that's really special. And he travels with me well. And we if he has to go to a meeting or I need to go to a dental meeting, we travel together to that meeting. So we enjoy time together and sharing our experiences together and having, you know, praying together and sharing the Bible together and going to church together. And those are all good things that makes you grow and understand each other more and more. And I think everybody needs to have that opportunity to grow with their partner. So that's one of the things we try to do is continue to grow in our marriage and in our life together.
Well, I have here in my notes just just a little bit of background being married to a general. I thought, I'm going to ask her, what's it like to be married to a 4-star general of the United States Army?
Well, you know, my husband is so, what's the word? He's unpretentious. He would never introduce himself to you and say, hi, I'm General Bramlett. He would say, hi, I'm David. That was his profession. That was his life. He's very, very proud of it, but mm-hmm. he doesn't make that the center of his life. So the good thing for me is I guess I have found that he has wonderful other men and women that he served with that I've gotten to be friends with and that are good Christian friends, that are uplifting kind of people you want to be around. And also I've gotten a chance to become more involved with the military and see this very special community that our military families are. They're very special.
How about your recent trip, real quickly?
Oh, recently David spoke on behalf of the Nisei Forum, and he spoke at, we went to the East Coast. It was in Pennsylvania. Sorry. I'm having a brain cramp. But anyway, he spoke on behalf of the Nisei Forum and shared the Nisei and the story of being a Nisei veteran. And for those of you who don't know what a Nisei is, it's a second-generation Japanese-American. But these soldiers were the most decorated military group in all the history of the Army. And they were voracious battlers, but they were also very touched by the fact that they were Americans and they wanted to be seen as American soldiers, not as Japanese American soldiers. They wanted to be Americans. They wanted to serve their country, which was America. And some of these soldiers, if you've read their history, came out of prisoner of war camps, or not prisoner of war camps, but concentration camps, or I guess they were Japanese camps where they were all herded into. And a lot of people would say, gosh, why would you even want to do that when a country put you in a camp? Why would you want to serve your country? And they said, because of that, to prove that we could be Americans. And their patriotism and their love of country was just amazing. And so my husband has been involved with sharing their story to the world.
Well, Nora, a parting shot to someone today. A quick word of encouragement and a prayer.
Okay. Well, I just thank you so much for inviting me here today. And I thank you for letting me share my story. And I hope that other persons hearing this will feel that even when you're really, really down and really out and you feel like you can't get up off that couch, listen to God, and God will tell you what you can do. And believe in God's word. Believe that you can get off that couch. And know that something wonderful is ahead, even when you don't believe that. And then pray that we'll just, I'm going to just lead us in prayer.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Dearest Heavenly Father, I cannot thank you enough, Lord, for being there for me in my life and for being present, for helping me through some of the toughest times, and Lord, for giving me the biggest joys I could imagine in my new marriage, and give me the opportunity to serve you through mission work and through being just a missionary here at home, working with those in need here in our own community. And Lord, I just thank you for friends and for churches and for even this radio show that can encourage other people to trust in you, Lord, for everything. Know that you are there for them. And Lord, we just thank you so very, very much for all you've done for us and for my life. And I just pray all these things in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, we got about a minute left. Nora, how did you and Suzanne meet?
Well, we met on the lanai at First Presbyterian Church, and her husband's a dentist, so we had a little discussion about dentistry, and I was asking for help for my Marshallese mission trip. I needed to know if anybody had any equipment or things I could borrow or use, and the Mowers popped right up. And I can say we became fast friends and later became involved with working with Charlie Wiedemeyer and his family, even hosting them in our home.
Yes.
Well, rich history together, and what a story.
Treasured friendship.
Yeah.
Yep. She's my mom in Hawaii.
And I can tell you she is very proud to be that.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Nora, I'm so grateful that you've been with us today. Thank you for sharing your heart and your precious time.
Thank you.
Encouraging words from Dr. Nora Harmson. You know, my friend, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and your financial support to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Job 8:7. And though your beginning was small, your latter days will be very great. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Nora Harmson. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.